sahanavavatu, sahanobhunaktu, sahavyam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastamavidvishavahai. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Lists are the okay, so this is a genuine theist because of these following reasons. So this genuine theist is still within the third level of consciousness?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So it's still different from the theist on the fifth level.
Correct. Because on the third level, my understanding is that the theism is still subordinate to morality.
Morality, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Morality.
But still, but for establishing, how you say, genuine theism over pseudo-theism, these mm-hmm. still work.
Yeah.
It seems like his arguments are establishing that God does exist.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, as opposed to just he's only imaginary.
It doesn't matter if he exists or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. There should be a supreme just because then there's an authority chain and so therefore people stay in line.
Yeah, exactly.
So instead of God just for organizational stage, it's God for
very pragmatic.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Two, no activity occurs without a doer. Someone may propose that a doer must have a source. However, this argument is valid only in relation to matter. Right, because that's the first thing that the atheistic person is going to say, especially the atheistic immoralist. That's the common thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that as soon as you say, well, it's a God who created, but who created him? Now, they always say that. So that's the next words out of their mouth.
Yeah.
Right? So the point is that, yes, that applies within matter.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is matter is an energy that's coming from spirit. You know, a spirit always exists. A form is conceived by the intellect, and this is transformed into action in the material world. The original doer or mover of matter is a conscious entity. As we do not see any mover of intellect beyond this, what is the necessity of insisting on another doer? By incorrect concomitants produced through the habit of material vision, a person searches for a doer beyond the conscious entity. Give up this bad habit and with pure logic take faith in the Lord. Okay, so in other words, matter has to have a doer. And then we can see is that beyond matter, okay, then there's the supreme doer. But since there isn't, means you can perceive in this world the doer, and then you can understand by intellect that there's something beyond, but then what's beyond that doer can't be seen. So then why look there? You know what I'm saying? Why look for something that you can't see?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know what I'm saying? God doesn't have an origin, that's his definition, but even if he said he had an origin, since you're having trouble just conceiving of God, what's the thing that there's something beyond? So don't worry about it. Right? So as we see no, as we do not see any mover of intellect beyond this supreme intellect, therefore, what is the necessity on insisting that there's another one? Right? Why insist? What's the necessity? It's just, you're just saying that because by saying that, then the idea is you'll drop the idea of God. Right? It's not that they're saying this to come to the absolute truth. No, they're simply saying this because then if we've gotten rid of the element of God, than just myself. I'm doing fine. It's like, we don't need to have anybody telling us what to do.
I went to the large hole as to where everything came from.
But the point is as long as you can get what you want from it, what do you care? You know, it's just like, you know, there may be an ozone hole, but if it doesn't bother you, what do you care? That's the thing, is that's why the selfish is the most problematic. The selfish or moralist is the most problematic. But then the selfish moralist is better, because then there's the idea of the overall cooperation. So maybe I don't care about the ozone hole, but it does affect other people. Right? You know, because most of the people that live where the ozone hole affects them aren't the guys with the spray cans. The ones who are in a place where the ozone hole doesn't bother them, they're the ones with the spray cans. You know, so it's just a matter of, you know, therefore we have to work this all out. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, if the ozone hole's there and the people in the tropics can't work, it says who's going to pick your cotton and who's going to make your pants? So therefore, it's worthwhile to, you know, consider, extend your view of consciousness. Right? Then when you get into the theistic, then there's a theistic for in name only, and then there's a theistic where they actually believe. If consciousness arrives, so this is a bad habit, that they just come up with this logic when it's only for the purpose of not finding out the truth, it's just for the purpose of saying there's no God. That's the only reason that they're doing it.
This can be considered like a misgiving?
Yeah, be misgiving, because the point is you don't want there to be a supreme authority, because if there is, I can't just do whatever I want. Right? Self-centered immorality basically is rooted in ignorance. Right? The sophisticated form has a touch of passion. Right? So, but the thing is it's still... Then there's a supreme authority, and then I have to do what I'm supposed to do rather than just what I'd like to do.
Is this a bad habit? Is it also referred to...
Is it more loudly?
Is it a bad habit being mentioned here also referred to the idea that the absolute truth is also subject to the laws of cause and effect of the material world?
Yeah, I would think so, yes. This bad habit of comparing transcendental to the material world, rather than the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. You know, reversing. Yes, that would be a good point. Mm-hmm. 3, if consciousness arises by some special process, through combination of atoms, there should be some evidence of this somewhere in the universe, right? Because they say, this is what's going on. And we see unlimited life happening, coming from other life. We don't see where it comes from matter. Sometimes they say, I think there was one experiment somebody did, it was big some time back. They took some certain chemicals and mixed them together, and then whatever it is, it would run around inside whatever the petri dish or whatever it was that it was being combined. So they said, see, here's life. You know, because it would do that, it would do all kinds of things what they would consider life. But it's not that it would continue and then you know, the process would keep going on. It's only when you put the chemicals together that it would do for some time and then it would stop. You know, so that's not enough. And there's that. But then you say, oh no, but now the possibilities. But again, here we have the mathematical impossibility of the probability of it. You know, it's like that. There should be some example of this in human history. Man is produced from the womb of a mother. Nowhere is any other process observed. In spite of the growth of science, nothing otherwise has yet been observed. Some may argue that man has arisen by chance combination of matter, and later man has adopted this particular process of birth from the womb. However, the succeeding events should be similar to the first event. Even now we should observe at least a few conscious entities arising by chance, combination of matter. It means you have, so what, 7 billion humans, and then you have, you know, unlimited ants and bugs and everything else. But there's not one time it just ever happened. You know, it just didn't happen. You know, so we left too many pillows on the couch and it created enough heat that you know, he came back and there was somebody sitting there. What are you doing here? Said, I don't know. You left the pillows there. I didn't leave the pillows. And as every mother teaches her daughter, don't put too many pillows on the couch like that, because then otherwise you might end up with, you know, some unwanted guests, and they'll consider themselves family because they took birth on your couch. You know, so it's not, you know, you're sitting there, you know, in the kitchen mixing up your pancakes and it's like that, and suddenly you come back and there's somebody sitting there in the bowl. Like, you know, so, you know what I'm saying? It's just like that. Or maybe other combination of things in the fridge and all the various fumes and that, when you open the fridge and someone's sitting inside, you know. And of course, because there's not that much space, they had to eat half of what was there just to make room so they could sit there. You know, it's just, it just doesn't happen. Therefore, it can only be logically concluded the first mother and father must have arisen from the supreme consciousness. Right? So then you're taking it back that we have that, and so you say, no, but it came from there, but we don't see it. But it's logical, if you come from the supreme consciousness, then that makes more sense. You can say, no, but that's not, that's just a sentiment. You know, science is but where is this logicalness? Logicalness is, they are very scientific with what they actually see and observe. But where that comes from, that they're more sentimental than your average sentimentalist. Because you take your average, let's say, religious person, if you come up with some strong arguments, they might become, their faith might become disturbed. Right? But the scientist, it doesn't. So that means who's more sentimentally fanatic here? You know? Like that. So it's not, you know, you'd have to put them in the same class like born agains or something. You know, it's just like that. That there's no ritual, there's no other thing like that, there's no knowledge, it's just that pure, you know, sentiment, that pure feeling, that faith, that yes, this is right. And that's it. So, like that. And, you know, it would probably be very, very uncomfortable being compared like that. You know, all it is their religion is science, that's all. Yes.
How do we deal with that argument? I've spoken with some individuals. When you claim that their religion is science, they say, no, the definition of religion is that which worships some supernatural entity or deity. So it's nonsense to think that science is religion.
No, religion is the inherent nature of something that can't be changed.
But someone, not necessarily everyone, accepts that definition of religion.
But that's the universal definition. Their definition doesn't apply beyond that, because then it doesn't... See, it's the living entity can't function without religion. It's just what level of consciousness your religion functions as. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like the gang has authority and the government has authority. Mm-hmm. You know, the family has authority. Their science lab has authority. Their science department has authority. Everybody works on authority. It's just whether it's an intellectual or whether it's, you know, a streetwise or whatever it is, everybody has it. So how can they say that this wouldn't work like that? You know, and where are they getting this definition from?
Their definition.
It's their definition. And even if they say from the dictionary is not what establishes definition. The dictionary simply records what definitions are being contemporarily used. Mm-hmm. So therefore, in the scientific observation, they didn't observe enough. Because mm-hmm. the point is, they say laws of nature, those didn't come from science. Where did that come from? Right? So that means there's a consistent form of laws that govern the universe, and the whole universe works on these laws. You're not going to have something consistent unless it comes from a singular origin. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, where do you get that consistency? Mm-hmm. It's normal when you have many people working on a project, unless there's a head of the project, then it's inconsistent. Mm-hmm. That's just science. That's just naturally observable. So why is it that the idea that the supernatural, why isn't that part of the process, since we do observe that there are things beyond the senses that seem to govern anything? What are these laws? Can you see the law? You can see the effect of the law. You can't see the law. Can you see the law floating around? Oh, there it is! You know, like that, you know? No, so the point is, but that's supernatural. So therefore, their whole science is based on a bevy of supernatural laws that they can't see. Mm-hmm. Neither can they prove, and neither can they prove they're not there. Mm-hmm. So how is it they can say that just because their narrow view doesn't include the other? It's just like them saying, you know, in chemistry, it doesn't include what's in, let's say, biology, or it doesn't include what's in quantum. Each one will say that the other one's not scientific because they don't include that field. Mm-hmm. And so then now, that means now you have an absolute definition. Mm-hmm. But our definition will accommodate all the various branches of science and of the religious and of the transcendental, like that. So then why wouldn't that be more... In other words, if a understanding of the law accommodates a broader range and therefore can explain in a more consistent way, isn't that considered more scientific? So if they reject that, that means they're not actually into science. They're just into the particular area that they have a particular interest in. They like numbers in this way, so they do this science. They like numbers in that way, they do that science. They like numbers, but they like dealing with people. But not living people, because they're too freaky. Dead people are really good. You can sit around and speculate about all day. If I sit a real person in front of me and speculate, he gets upset. I can take a bunch of bones and say anything I want about them and come up with any theory. And who's going to judge it? There's no one around to say. So therefore, I'm very free. You know, but in quantum, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you know, you're attached to numbers, but not to really anything that's too with too much stricture. Mm-hmm. You only create your stricture to go along the line of your theory of how you think it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is this a class, or they're just doing it?
I heard they're doing the yoga.
In scales. Okay. Is that okay?
Yes.
In other words, you just take whatever they're saying and don't oppose it, just keep going further on their path. Because the problem is their path, they don't have answers. See, they get up to a point and stop themselves. So the point is why stop at this point? Why stop only within the material? Why can't there be a something beyond the physical? Mm-hmm. You know, the whole point, if you're just a bag of chemicals, why do you care if you're, you know, the so-called wife bag of chemicals, you know, got sick? Why do you care? Just that you care, that's unscientific, illogical. It's something beyond what you're able to measure with your science. So right there, your whole life is based on you're in this subject to get money so that you can maintain your lifestyle. And then you're going to say that somehow or another your math is supreme. You know, it's just like, you know, if we want to be real here, they don't even think. That's the problem. You know? They're socially inept, most of these people. Some of them are, but then you're dealing with a different kind of, you know, you're dealing with the social atheists. Like that. They're more on the social, like that. But they're not logical. These other guys are logical, but then they don't have the social skills. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's sad. For whenever man exists, belief in God also exists. Therefore, belief in God is the basic attribute in the character of man. It means even from the aboriginal tribes, they can understand something superior is there. So in becoming sophisticated, all you do is grow your ego, so you can't tell that there's something superior. You know, you make whatever you want. They make, you know, in Japan, those are most likely some of the latest nuclear reactors. It's Japan, right? But then, you know, a tsunami messed the whole thing up. And now everybody's rethinking their nuclear power. What they thought was, you know, completely safe has now been shown it's not safe. So, but what power did that? It's just an accident? It's just, you know, how does so much water move like that without a power behind it? And you can say, well, I can see the mechanics of it. You know, it's just like, yes, I can see the mechanics of a bicycle or a car. The car is driving down the road. right? So that's because, you know, all these things, the steering wheel is being moved, the pedals are being pushed, the engines, there's petrol in the engine, all those things. But why is it moving? The car could sit there eternally and never have an interest or an idea to move. It's moving because there's a person. So just that you observe the mechanics and explain the mechanics doesn't explain anything else. You know, so that means it's a very narrow, limited vision. Right? Because religion is a faith. They have faith in their numbers. They have the faith that their numbers will explain everything. The problem is you have two things. You have numbers and you have experience. So their science cannot explain anything on experience. So that means it's not actually a very broad science, a very narrow science. At maximum, you're getting half of what's there, what's important. And then others, you have ones that describe all the other side that don't get into this math side. So you have mechanics, and then you have why you do the mechanics. So one talks about why you do it, but they can't explain the mechanics. They have the Hispanic mechanics like that. So it's the universal religion that can explain both. So that's why we say it's the inherent nature of something. So you're talking about the nature of numbers, but what about the nature of experience? So you're leaving that out. So you're just saying it's because it's something that you can't comprehend, therefore it doesn't exist. But that's like an ostrich. It's obvious it exists. You know what I'm saying? You know, they were burning scientists at the stake for a long time. You know, so therefore they do seem to have a power beyond yours. You know, there is no scientist today that can go somewhere, hold a conference, and get 500,000 people to show up. There's not one. You know what I'm saying? Nobody even cares about the scientists. You know? They really don't. I mean, what they come up with is interesting as long as somebody else can take it and practically apply it. But actually, no one cares about the scientist on his own because he doesn't have the experiential aspect. So as far as the mass of people goes, it's you know, useful but not prominent. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you don't want to make them feel too bad, but some may object that faith in God exists in the primitive stage of human life, and by the advancement of knowledge this is eradicated. Error is not one of variety, but truth is always one. Oh, error is not of one variety, but truth is always one. For instance, 10 plus 10 equals 20. This is the same in all countries and all places because it is a truth. The statement 10 plus 10 equals 5, 25, being a false total, is not common to the whole world. Belief in God exists even in the inhabitants of the most remote islands. Objection to this universal phenomena, which arises simply from the prejudices of material education, cannot be considered. So it's just a prejudice. That's the whole thing, is due to ignorance, they take their position as being non-prejudiced. That's why they so much stick to the form of objective. Like even you talk to the devotee academics, is when you go say something, they'll always bring up this subjective-objective kind of aspect. But that's just because that if you keep saying that their school is objective, then they actually start to believe it. Right? It means when you have a mentor to get your degree, you have to parrot, you have to toe the line, you have to do exactly what he says. This whole idea, free thinking, this, that, it's all 100% focus. All they want you to do is your brain works enough that you can come up with interesting speculations that's interesting for your mentor and others of his peers to look at. That is, oh, okay, so here's, they're adding some interesting intellectual speculation to the field of academics. Therefore, he's qualified to be one of us. But once you get the position, then you can say, now I'm free. Yeah, a little bit you are, but you can't really, because then you have the chair. And then even if you get to the point, you toe the line till you get the chair, then the point is you still can't do just anything you like, because then you have the academic community. And no one has control of the academic community. So it's just by, you know, slowly, slowly, from one generation to the next, it starts to change. You know, basically when the old ones die, then the younger ones can kind of come forward. But because they've been there, they toe the line a bit, so that it takes a few generations. You know, Aristotle came up with something that the general practical public liked. Plato, you know, it's nice to think about, and Socrates, that's just too freaky. You know, so like that, it'll take a few generations to adjust it. But then, you know, then the next generation wants to adjust it from there. So you never have that freedom. It's never objective. It's totally subjective according to your mentor, to your peers, to the chair, and to the community. There's no such thing as objective. It's just a smoke screen, so you think that they're more, in other words, things that they can't explain, then they just say it's not objective. It's easy. You know, or something that they didn't say was there, oh, the translation's bad, or it's interpolated. These are all just pat little lines. You know, but at some point, if they actually are an academic, then they have, if they're actually interested in truth. But it's not, it's a job. They're not interested in truth, they're interested in a job. Because if they were interested in truth, then to be, you know, like Diogenes, you know, living in a barrel. They couldn't care less about anybody else. But they care very much. They want to be published, they want to be known, they want to be famous. You know, so what is this objectivity? Yes?
In the Vedic time, what are the people who are recognized as scientists? In the Vedic time?
Scientists, if you're a Shankya, is the scientist. The point is why do you analyze things unless you're trying to understand the absolute truth? Because these other things, why is science going in the direction it's going? Because they want to know what's the source of everything. You know, they're expecting to find some, you know, monolith floating through space or something. You know, people buy that more than they'll buy that there's a person there. You know, or what was the other one? They sent one of those little things that goes and collects information in space. Yeah, and then it collected so much knowledge that it became conscious, and now it's come back to find its origins, you know, which is man or something like that. You know, they come up with these kind of things they can buy, but the point is if you're something beyond.
I was going to say, this argument doesn't carry a lot of weight with the atheists. They refute it by saying, even though belief in God may be common and one, but the manifestation and the religion and the beliefs about God, there's so much variety within that. And so they claim that, if there's only one God, how come you guys can't agree? Why are you always warring and fighting with one another? And why are all your rituals and beliefs so vastly different? Isn't this evidence that it's all made up?
So then that means that then the same way as their lifestyle, everything is made up, because each country argues with each other and everything like that. And even in your own family, no one agrees that the other one looks like to dress properly or what they should do. So isn't that then the whole family thing, the whole community thing, your whole philosophical thing? No philosopher can agree with each other. So it's all a sham. So why don't you just give it all up and just go to the forest? You know, at least all the birds, they all do the same thing all day. You know, there's a consistency. But then the point is why is there consistency in nature? The point is in the natural state, there's consistency. It's when man adds his own interpretation to those natural laws, that's when the problem starts coming up. You know, because even amongst atheists, you're going to have different varieties of atheists. Because they're an atheist, but is there anything supreme at all?
Yeah.
And so some will say there is, and then some will say there's absolutely nothing. It's just me and my senses.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that. Even amongst atheists, they're going to get a difference of opinion. Mm-hmm. The point is, in the natural laws, nature can go on completely perfectly, and you know, and if there's no so-called sophisticated human beings, it goes on fine. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, nature doesn't need man; man needs nature. So, which is superior? Why is it that nature is all accommodating while man's not? Man's not accommodating of nature. Nature's accommodating man. You know, and nature and man can't function without nature. So therefore, nature's in a superior position. Why is it so consistent? You know, just taking that there, but then step back from that. What we're saying is that we're just saying in this natural state you see this. Mm-hmm. So that's the point. These other things are, then man speculates and creates his own mm-hmm. stuff. But in this natural state, it all goes on. How do you explain that? Mm-hmm. You know, like that. So that's there. That's how science is there. There's a category canines, because they all do the same thing. You know, there's the felines, they all do the same thing. The bovines, they all do the same thing. Even though there's a great variety within them, but they all do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When this different level of consciousness that we are studying now, it means that the person does not accept Krishna as God. Is it is going to understand level by level this development of consciousness?
Can. I mean, that can be considered. You know, the thing is in connection with us, we have so many various angles. You have that association with the devotees, associating Krishna's name with Prasad. You know, the sound vibration, the philosophy. So all these different aspects that one gets purified by that association, one will understand with time.
For example, for a scientist who was like, your example was atheistic, materialistic scientist. So in order for him to make progress in the level of consciousness, is it better to, from this atheistic, to go to the theist, to the moralist?
It means you can take them step by step, but it's not that you expect that they're going to take that up fully as a lifestyle, and when that's they take them next. You just take them logically through the steps. Like, in other words, if they don't believe in anybody, then at least there has to be the morality. Because generally, you could have a scientist who himself and his lifestyle is an atheistic moralist, immoralist. But the point is that science means that there's laws. And it goes better. If it's chaos, it doesn't go so well. Therefore, then by having the form, naturally, then you have to have the atheist moralist. But the point is if you have that supreme element, that supreme thing, this will go better.
Yes.
And then that will go, then the point is no, there actually is a God there. So you just take them up through that. And then once they understand that, then the point is we're not the body, we're the soul. Right? So generally, we just start with that, you know, third and fourth levels.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really bother so much with the first and second.
Well, very often many scientists don't accept.
Then you don't bother with them. These people are just so hardcore. You know, why waste your time? Right? You know, there's another, you know, 6 billion, I say, 999,999,999 people that you could talk to. Why talk to this guy? You know what I'm saying? Not that we don't have answers, it's just they're not qualified to hear them. You know, it's just like they can say, no, but I'm smart. But how do you get into a school? You have the particular qualifications that qualify you for that branch of knowledge. So they may have qualifications for science, but they don't have qualifications for transcendental knowledge, right? You know, in other words, they have qualifications for science, but not for human life. You know, like that. That's all. You know, but so the thing is it's not. They don't have the qualifications, so it's like that in anything. Point is the soul. Can any soul, no matter what the material qualification, have qualification spiritual life? But they have to want it, or at least be open to it. Mm-hmm. If they're against it, then basically you don't waste your time. Because that's all they'll do. You know. Maybe if there's nothing better to do and you want to find out some new, what's the new angles or arguments or this and that, then you can talk to them. You know, like you're sitting on the train and you can't go anywhere, and then, you know, the train's full and there's only the seat you're in. So then, then you can talk. You know, so, you know, 2 hours is there. And then after 2 hours, you picked up a few more new angles. You know. But if you had a choice, you wouldn't bother.
You ask the question, so if you're so convinced of this philosophy, why not just move to the fourth? I mean, because there's no real purpose, no real meaning behind life. It's all just some random reductionist, like materialistic.
You mean he's talking to the theist?
Yeah. No. Talking to, well, this is the conviction of the atheist, the materialist. But yet his lifestyle and his values are inconsistent with that, you know, scientific belief.
Yeah.
So can you comment? I mean, is that just a flaw in the philosophy, is that it actually has no application, whereas in the Vedic system, our lifestyle is consistent with, you know, the actual philosophical beliefs?
Yeah. No, it's just that there is no concept, common concept and definition of the absolute truth, so kind of everybody just makes their own up.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of the particular stage in time, you know, how much sophistication is there.
Yeah.
In this atheistic morality platform. Because that's what drives, you could say, you know, on one level, your Western development of the Western culture.
Yeah.
In other words, that's the underlying aspect that's developed what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
But we see, if we look at history, much of what was going on, the reason for science breaking off and all that was because of the aspect of religion. But the religion was unable to accommodate or explain,
mm-hmm.
you know. So therefore, you know, what's the big deal? The point is, you know, so many scientific things they've observed, they're only observing nature. It's only a problem when they get into, you know, Big Bang or man comes from an ape or something like that, or it comes from chemicals. This kind of thing, that's the only point where there's a discrepancy.
Yeah.
But if you leave that part, because it's the smallest part, the things they know the least about. If you have a science book, it takes up some pages. And then the rest of it's about details they can observe and prove.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they can't prove that there's a Big Bang. You know, like that. How would nothing turn into everything? And if you say everything was squashed into that small of a place, how much power it would take to squash it into that? Right? The interesting things, it comes in their diagrams, it comes out like this.
Yes.
Like that. But the point is there's a lotus stem and then the flower, you know. So God can compress it all into that. He breathes in, and then when he breathes out, then it's all there again. So it's that we don't have a problem, but the point is when they say it's an atheistic thing, it's like,
yeah.
Then we say man comes from apes, yes, in his last life he was an ape, and then he's born as a man. But it could also be a cow, and also could be a lion or a tiger.
Yeah.
You know, they especially like the apes because they're, you know, pretty, how do you say, ignorant. You know, like that. Most scientists are, and from what I've seen as a class, are exceedingly, how do you say, socially inept and very lusty. Just that's my experience. Anybody else has had very, very experienced, very lusty. But they don't have the social skills, so you know. What's it, you know, it's like that one thing, what is it? The one nerd comes up to the girl, sits down next to her at the bar and says, "Hey, want to exchange fluids?" You know. That's what's happening. You know, it's just, you know, so what happens? The girl gets up and walks away. Now, if you've been a nerd bar, now you've been talking, right? But it wasn't.
Remember I told you one about the big physicist and his wife, and he put his shirt on the wrong way, and that led to this whole conversation where he was working out mathematically how many different ways he could put his shirt on, and he put his head through this hole or that hole, and he came up with like 48 variations. And his wife was just listening to him and shaking her head. And she said, "You forgot one." And he said, "No." She said, "Yes, you can roll it in the ball and stick it up your head." Or shove it up your
head. Yeah, the appropriate was verb would have been shove. Right?
Practical intelligence.
Yes.
He's a very famous physicist.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. There's just so much. They have so much fun in the speculation process. That's the whole point. It's the taste there. So when you say, see, is there, they're afraid that when you say that there's God, the speculative element ceases. because then you have to restrict it in a particular area. But he didn't have a problem restricting his discussion to the shirt. Right? So 48 ways of dealing with the shirt, he doesn't have a problem with. So if it's just within God's creation, it's the same thing. It's just they're afraid that by acknowledging the, you know, the Supreme Lord, the parameters, that they won't be able to speculate, therefore they'll lose their taste. You know, that's when you're more generic. Then you have the actual more demoniac kind of mentality, is that they just don't want the Supreme.
Yeah. Basically want the freedom to live any lifestyle they want without any constraints, and they just find an appropriate philosophy to validate.
Yes, but the interesting thing is that their occupation is 100% restricted by constraints. Mm-hmm. The proton can only do this, the neutron can only do that.
Yeah.
There's only certain ways you can combine. You don't do it in the right way, it blows up.
Yeah. Socially.
But socially, then there's the idea, I can do anything. How does that work? In a world that's so exact in science, why would your lifestyle be any different?
Yeah.
So it's not very consistent. But because it's because of attachment, therefore you can't really convince them. Their own attachments, therefore their own subjectivity, therefore they can't. But they'll say it's objectivity because, you know, that's their weapon.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like women, it's tears. So for academics, it's objectivity.
Yeah.
That's just they don't have anything beyond that. So just like, you know, if you don't care about the tears, then you just don't care about their objectivity.
Like you were saying, that Sunday position is kind of the weirdest, because the theistic moralist, the weakness seems that if you say you should be good, you should be nice, you shouldn't steal, but why? If you're really convinced of this atheistic basis, then why are there any values? Why is there any good and bad?
Because it's just seen, it's popular.
Yeah.
People have observed that if you do things in certain ways, it increases the happiness. So all it is losing that just, you know, hit and miss, that these things seem to make people happy. You have nicer food, it makes everybody happy, so therefore how can we improve the, you know, availability and everything like that? You know, but then the sense gratification, see, is basically in here, you're looking at this, what they're talking about here, actually in one level, is a higher grade atheistic moralist.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is the idea that the community of people, individual humans, will enjoy greater because of the sophisticated machinations that are in place to allow that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the modern, it's not even about that. It's just about getting money. Getting money and getting position, and supposedly that's going to improve the happiness, but they can't even define the quality of it. How do you define what's the quality of it? You know what I'm saying? You might get a nice suit or stay in a nice hotel, you know, or get some nice wine or something like this, but other than that, what about the quality of the life and interaction and sharing and all these things that greater, it's not really there. So that aspect becomes very weak. So even as far as materialists go, the modern materialist isn't actually a very good materialist. You know, he's like the millionaire who's a miser. He doesn't get any benefit from having his money.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they claim to be in, they still don't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point, is this just, these arise simply from the prejudices of material education. That's all. Material education is prejudiced. That's all. It's not actually broad-minded. They claim to be, they think sophistication is, but it's not. It's just, they're still prejudiced. It is absolutely necessary for man to accept God and afterlife if he wants to raise his position as a human being. The man has only a few days to live. He cannot have much hope and aspiration. Man fulfills his higher aspirations, hopes, and ambitious goals to the degree that faith in God naturally manifests in his character. Men devoid of faith in God have insignificant purpose in life. Right? Because if there's no faith, then what do? You manage something, you do something, and then when you die, it's like, who cares? You know, like that? It's just like, there's a couple of, I mean, how many rulers of state have there been in the last, you know, what do you say, 2,000 or 3,000 years of history? Right? You know, for your general purpose, can they name, okay, take 1,000 years of Greeks. Can anyone name a great leader? Right? And then you take, you know, 1,000 years of the Roman Empire, the Western Roman Empire, and generally most will just come up with Caesar, at best. How many will come up, who is the next, Augustus?
Charlemagne.
Huh?
Charlemagne.
That. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, well, later. He was French, right? Charlemagne, wasn't he French?
Charlemagne.
Yeah, he was French. So then, you know, that's one there. Okay, then next, Charlemagne. Right? Then after that, who? Then you have Napoleon. And then? Okay? Somebody might remember Louis the 14th, you know, because he did something like that. Then they might know about the Kaiser, but Bobby wouldn't know his name is. Okay, Hitler they'll know. Right? You know, Stalin, Mussolini. They probably won't even know Tito. Right? Okay, they've heard of Mao.
Maybe Ronald Reagan from his movies.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan's movies. Like that. And, you know what I'm saying? So that's it. George Washington. Like that. Henry VIII. You know, because he's some, you know, good, clean fun there. Right? And did I miss anybody?
Queen Victoria.
Yeah, okay, if you get a little refined. What is it? Was it? Good Queen Bess. Like that. But that's about it. And then the contemporary environment, there's a, what is it, the 150, 60, 70 countries of the world. How many do we actually even know who's there, who stands out, who's prominent? You know, so that's there. You know, and philosophers, and who knows, from the Greek people have heard of Socrates and this and that, probably wouldn't know what his philosophy is. Like that, you know. Amongst the Romans, don't know of anybody. There were philosophers in Europe, you know, so it's only a little bit more in the modern time. You know, they might have heard of, you know, Thomas Aquinas. But then he was just Aristotle. Aristotelian, right? Yes. You know, and then these other Wallows, then, you know, somebody more intellectual has heard, but your general person hasn't heard of them. You know? So it's like, who's prominent? You know, it's just like, just noticing, is, you know, it's like, you know, as time goes, you know, as I give an example or use a particular word, I'm having more and more, how do you say, Jurassic moments than previously, because people knew what I was talking about, but now it's like they don't know, you know, and they know about names that I don't know about, and even those names, they disappear.
I mean by the fossilized stairs of what do you mean by Jurassic? They're just like calcified.
you know, like dinosaurs, they're dead and gone, you know, yeah, it's just like, so far in ancient history that people don't even know what you're talking about.
I thought you meant you would look at the crowd and they look like fossils staring back at
you. No, Jurassic moment means it's just, you know, we find out that we're a living fossil, right? And everybody else is, what's he talking about?
A relic of the past.
A relic, yeah, yeah.
Antiquated.
Antiquated. That's better. Antiquated moments. Yeah. Because it's just getting harder and harder to give. I mean, you can give modern examples, they fly very fine. Some of them I leave out, like this morning I was being very careful. Going along what I said about the guy at the river, you know, Aaron, and he's there, and, you know, so the sun's out and all that, and then when the sun goes away, he gets up and then goes and buys himself, you know, something to eat, you know. So it'll be some nonsense, you know, like that. You know, so you leave those ones out. But if you say that, then everybody will know what you're talking about. You say he goes and he buys himself a burger or something, then everybody will nod their head. You know, it's like, it's just. Man fulfills his higher aspirations, hopes, and ambitious goals to the degree that faith in God naturally manifests in his character. But generally, if you look at it carefully, which is left out in history because you're secular history, but generally the more great personalities had faith in the Supreme. You know, to some degree, in some way. Like that. Men devoid of faith in God have insignificant purpose in life. You know, even if they do big things, then, like we were saying, it disappears and no one even knows. That's what we're saying. Out of 3,000 years of history, there's only a handful of names that are known by general public. And then you add in maybe another 50, 100, or 150, 200, but for those who are more academic and knowledgeable. And that's it. Out of, I mean, the 7 billion people here now, how many people have been here, you know, lived and died since, you know, how you say, 3,000 years ago, when you can basically say Western civilization kind of started. Right? Because we're being secular here. If you really wanted to be practical, then you go back 5,000 years, because that's when the Bible, you know, starts things. And people don't really necessarily always want to connect themselves to the Judaic line. They're more comfortable with the Greek and Roman line. And then what we're saying is that then the East Empire went for another 1,000 years. We probably don't even know one name of anybody in the East Empire, even though they were much better managers. You know, it's just like that, you know. How many, you know, 5,000 years of the Chinese history, and how many names does anybody know? Right? You know. But yeah, Mao Zedong or
Confucius.
Confucius, okay, yeah.
He's a philosopher. He wasn't a political leader.
No, but I'm, but still, two names out of 5,000 years of Chinese history.
Yeah.
So that's the point, is everybody is insignificant. To that degree that there's some faith in that, we'll get into more. 6. If faith in God based on sound reasoning and gratitude in the form of following his orders is absent, then real worship of the Lord, which is the main item of morality, also becomes absent. By this absence, the life of man becomes imperfect, and in the absence of basic obligations, life becomes sinful. Right, so even if it's a real worship, you won't be able to maintain this sophisticated atheistic moralism, or even the theistic moralism, if it's not real worship, because it'll just, without the proper direction, it will just degrade into sinful life. By logically deriving conclusions in this way, knowledge will increase. And in the shelter of this knowledge, life will advance in the spheres of science, arts, morality, and faith in God. And the whole world will benefit. And so the point is everything it will get better. So if an imaginary belief will get you so much better, why not an actual real belief? Right? So in other words, there is a progression. It's just like this. Does the child know anything beyond what he can observe with his senses? Right? In other words, you could say a baby is a real scientist. Right? Everything goes in its mouth, is tested in one consistent process, you know, that it has full control over. Like that. You know. So therefore very scientific. But then, you know, the parents teach them that there's things beyond just what you can gain through the senses. So you could say, but everybody starts out like that, but then everybody becomes trained different. So that's all. It's a, you know, in the science field, they don't have any mom. There's no mommies and daddies. Poor scientists. All orphans. Wandering the streets. Okay. This will give you peace and happiness after death. These processes which reject the existence of God cannot offer you happiness after death. Oh brother, you have offered your hopes to an imaginary God, but a real God can offer you benefits thousands of times greater. So we have taken it that we're dealing real theist with imaginary or pseudo-theist. You're not dealing these with atheist. Right? The atheist views the previous ones that just imagining God gives you a better effect than not imagining. You know, so there, make up your own, do whatever you want, but there should be some supreme. Once they've got fixed in that, then now you take it to the next step. So then you could use that in that way. Right? It means that atheistic and immoral make them moral. And once that's there, then make them believe in some form of supreme, though it can be imaginary. Then it's real. And then, you know, we don't generally go through those stages. That Maya takes them through that, you know, over thousands and thousands of lifetimes. So we just come in to add the bhakti sukriti to tip the scale. So whatever is the maximum bhakti sukriti you can expose them to, then that's what you do. So if nothing else, then, you know, because they're so absorbed in the senses, if you have nice prasad, they'll like that, and they'll eat that. In fact, because, you know, they are, how you say, even though their idea they can do whatever they want, they're extreme habit, creatures of habit. So if they like something you have, like they like a particular kind of prasad, then they got to have it every day. Not because it's prasad, just because they have to have that experience. So that somehow their whole life is so contradictory. So they don't probably talk as much about the social freedoms, because they know the life, they just don't, they're so absorbed they don't have any social life. It's your other intellectuals that get into the social freedoms and everything. Okay, it is necessary to cultivate knowledge of science, arts, morality, and God, but this cultivation of two types, improper and proper. Improper, so is he still considering this, or now this is back to Bhakti Vinod Thakur?
It's Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Okay. Well, hang on.
I mean, the whole thing is Bhakti Vinod Thakur, but is he representing
this? Yeah, is he speaking from his voice, or is he speaking
from the third level of knowledge. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's still...
Huh?
He's paraphrasing the third level of knowledge.
So this is now furtherance of the third level of knowledge. Okay. Okay. Improper cultivation refers to cultivation performed at the wrong time and in the wrong way, without considering one's own qualification. A person should practice according to his qualification. If he does more or less, the proper result will not manifest. Qualification is according to one's nature. Nature arises due to original circumstance, teachings in association. Right? So, in other words, if you're not dealing with the activity according to time, place, and circumstance with the appropriate knowledge and qualification, or qualification means skill and knowledge, then it won't be successful.
Right? It's interesting because I think in child psychology there's this debate between nature versus nurture.
Yes, but the point is you have to nurture nature. You can't nurture something that's not there. You know what I'm saying? Like that. It means, I have some sand. Can I nurture it and get a nice garden? No, you have to have seeds. Yeah, like that. So it's like, I think there's websites where you can have a rock as a pet. You know, because it means, you know, whenever you do the virtual pet, it always dies, so therefore now you can have a virtual rock. You don't have to worry about it dying. I'm not sure what you do for it, or what interaction you have, but at least it doesn't die.
This is the perverted reflection of Shiva worship.
Oh, okay. Yes. Now, so you have to have these qualifications, then it works nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So therefore, there must be education, there must be these things. So here he's saying is that this material education, here they're even saying the material education is just material education without the theism. Because the point is knowledge and theism don't have a problem going together.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the culture of material education that is generated. That's the problem.
Yes.
Because it opposes actually applying real knowledge in your life. That's the fun. If you have real knowledge of what happens, but you ignore that, you can't call that an enlightened society or an educated society. Right? So that's the thing, is that the enlightened person, so-called, does things that even an Aboriginal knows you shouldn't do. You know, and then they get a bad result because they're not educated. They don't actually connect the two. They can't connect that the bad social elements that are coming. It's like, let's say, you know, what was it? You know, it's in England just last year, right? They had that riot that went on for, I don't know how many days. It went on for a long time. And most of the people involved were all kids, teeny boppers. They just were rioting and burning down things in London and all that, and they could do nothing about it. There's no connection that maybe the way that they're training their kids has something to do with this, or lack of training. This is a result. No, they'll come up with some new idea that will blame it on parents and authority and make them even worse. But the interesting thing is somehow they can be authority, but parents can't be authority. A person should practice according to his qualification. If he does more or less, the proper result will not manifest. Qualification is according to one's nature. Nature arises due to original circumstance, teachings, and association. Right? So original circumstance means just what ability you have. You can say, okay, nurture. Let's say the person is very, very physically, not very developed. And there's not much there to develop. So it's not a matter of nurture will make them into, you know, Mr. Universe. It's just not going to happen. So there's original circumstance. He doesn't have much brains to work with. He doesn't have much emotional ability. He doesn't have so that's original. Then teachings and association. So association is what they do and then what he's taught. So these three are important: original circumstance, teaching, and association. Because the original circumstance is then what you're going to do. By association you become affected by that, but just by unconscious, but then by teachings you become consciously aware. When you take support of the scientific system of Varnashram of Bharata after discerning your qualification, you will perfect your activities and attain the final goal. Right? Because Varnashram is actually established within this third level. That's the symptom of Manamoy, or his Jnanamoy, his Varnashram.
Yes.
Because then you're dealing, actually, then religion is there. So that means it appears that this is, because this is the theistic moralist who's pseudo may not be practicing Varnashram.
Yeah.
So actually they're in between the second and third in reality. You know, like that.
The genuine theist will adopt Varnashram.
Yeah, the genuine theist will do that. So that means then you have quite a range of all the philosophies and religions within the, you know, real theist on down to atheistic moralists.
Yeah.
Like that. And you do have a few philosophers that are atheistic and moralists. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Please understand that your soul is deathless through logic and intrinsic faith. When your life in Vaidhi Bhakti will be perfect in all respects. Though you appear to have arisen from your mother's womb by transcendental logic and advanced method, raise and embellish that self to higher existence. You existed before this birth, and after this birth, you will exist. Without such conviction, your faith in God will not be pure. Now, mentioned here about Vaidhi Bhakti, so now...
I'm just looking at the next part. We haven't moved to the next fifth stage yet.
Okay, so you're saying in here is that you... So this could also be... This is where it gets a little scary. Mm-hmm. So this could be talking about somebody practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, but where moralism is more prominent than the theism.
Yes.
Right, so in other words, their practice of Krishna consciousness becomes flavored by the particular acceptance of moral or social rules and its application.
Karma mishra.
Yeah, it would be a karma mishra. But then let's say like the element is like, you know, oh, the leadership, I don't like it, so then you won't associate with devotees. The point is, yeah, so in other words, Krishna is not as important as your concept of morality. You know, or a certain moral elements for the community. Mm-hmm. Oh, what can we do? All you know, everybody's doing this. How can we say that our kids can't do this? Right? Mm-hmm. But they're saying that here in Mayapur.
Yes.
Right? The locals aren't dressing how we're saying our kids can dress. They're doing the stuff that they say. So who is it? Where are these karmi kids? Okay, if they're in the West and they're going to high school, yeah, there's karmi kids there. Yes, then it's just, but you're here. Where are these people? You understand? So there's an artificial creation of a social system that becomes more prominent than Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's the only thing I'm thinking about here, because you can't have these levels. In other words, the devotee, the pure devotee, is situated in the fifth level of consciousness. But now if you're conditioned, that will be pure devotion plus one of these four.
Yes.
You know, or some combinations. So then you could also get that aspect. So it could mean that the pure theist means actually the devotees.
Yes.
But same time as you could see that those who think that they're pure theists would appreciate these arguments. But now at this point, now it's going to be a problem, because actually even though they're claiming it's real religion, it's actually sub-religion. Because
yeah.
It's not, it means your world religions of today are generally sub-religion. They're not dealing with the inherent nature of a particular conditioning.
Yeah.
They're dealing with, you know, just socially what works. So what the second level is into, the economics, justice, and ethics.
Yeah.
So it's a artha ethics, not dharma ethics.
Now we're still based on one's own personal happiness. That's the main.
Okay, yes, right? Because that's the sakam.
The elevation leading to it, yeah.
Yeah, it's still sakam karma. Yeah. So that's the thing, is there's these overlaps. So at this point it can fade out and go into the, you know, the smarta or others who are following Vaidhi sadhana,
yeah,
but they don't have the devotion. So you could take it that this could mean smartas. Or you could take it that it's just neophyte devotees.
Yeah.
You know. But it's not, this is their situation of consciousness. This is the conditioning that's mixed with their pure consciousness of the fifth level.
Yeah.
You know, so if somebody's just situated here, then this varnashram aspect would necessarily be smartas.
Yeah.
Because others don't really care.
Seems like they're adopting dharma for the sake of karma. And then
yes,
the fourth
yes.
level is for the sake of moksha.
Moksha, yes. But both of them, you notice, both levels use dharma.
Yeah.
So dharma for karma, dharma for liberation.
Mm-hmm.
Below that, they include dharma only where it's useful in economics. Or sense gratification.
Yeah. And it's not connected to the Lord.
Yes, yeah, not connected to the Lord. But in here, then they can connect it to the Lord.
Yeah.
Whatever their concept is, it's supreme.
Yeah.
So you have all these overlaps. So it's a matter of, that again, you can see is, you study it by boxes, but its application is not in boxes.
Yes.
Yeah. In the next part, we're going to talk about that after this theistic morality. Of course, it gets to ask, we are not having a form of a relationship, and then branches into either going to yoga,
jhana, or bhakti. Okay. So the bhakti only will take him to the fifth level. Though you do say, if you do have the true impersonalists, the Brahma bodies, are considered on the fifth level, but they're just at the existence aspect of the fifth level. Right? Some that aspect of just sat. There's no chit-nananda. Because the real fifth level is sat-chit-ananda. Right? But if they're going for Mayavad, then you know they'll never make it to the fifth level. Yeah.
And before the third level, there is no sat. Before the first and second, there is no.
Yeah, well, the third level, you're dealing with nature. So it's connected, because generally it's those who accept Varnashram. accept the concept of Sanatan Dharma, because they take the Varnashram's eternal principle and all that connected with the Supreme. Like that.
But before first and second level, there is no...
No, not as such. If they use it, it's only what works, yes, practically. You know, it's just, yes, like, let's say, you go out to, you know, the dinner program, so you dress up in your dhoti and everything, because you're there. Because it does that, you say all the right things, and, you know, talk about the temple and donations and stuff like that. But then, let's say you're going to a business meeting, you're in your suit and pants, and then you just talk that. I mean, so I've seen people like that, just super excellent. They can move in any circle perfectly. So they just know what to do in each circle. But they have to be very pious people to do that. So they're going to be very intelligent, very, you know, how you say, good-looking, congenial, you know, dynamic. Because, you know, otherwise, how do they move in all those circles successfully? Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, one thing I forgot to bring up is now, since you know, the four of you are here, and the four of you seem to be the complete class. So, you know, so then, because we have more material to go through here, Jagannath feels that there's more material of advantage. So shall we try starting tomorrow, means for these last 3 days, starting from 3:30, to see how it works? Yeah? Okay.
Till 5?
Yeah, till 5. End at 5.